You want to sing that? Come on up here and let's sing that. Y'all know that song, don't you?
Play it for us again, Brenda.
I wanted to sing it about three times louder, but I was afraid I was going to get her off. Because Jesus truly is Lord, and truly every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Thank you for coming to the Lord's house today. It's good to be back from Oklahoma. My granddaughter, I guess, moved into the dorm yesterday and starts orientation today, and whenever Sarah and Brian get on that plane, start back to Australia, they're going to feel a little lonesome. But I told Hannah, I said, something happens and you need somebody real fast, you call me and I'll be there in 20 hours. But the church that they attended, there's several people there that also told her the same thing. Says, honey, you need somebody, you call us. And I know that they love her and they'll do that. But it's good to be back. Appreciate Brother Jim preaching last week. I've heard he did a good job, and so it's good to be here. Let's pray. Fathers, we bow before you today. We just honor you and we praise you and we worship you. For truly you are Lord. There is none other like you. There is none other but you. And as we worship you today, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're here. You came in dwelling inside of every believer. And so, Father, may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us direction. And in every way, Father, may our lives bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand together and sing Worthy of Worship, which Mr. Jeff has lined up for us on the screens. And if you want your book, it's page 3. I still tend to look at my book because sometimes these contacts don't let me see all that up there. Let's join with us. Thank you.
Truly, only Jesus is worthy. No other Savior, no other God but Jesus. And we'll be proclaiming that worthiness and that holiness and singing hallelujah for all of eternity. And I don't want to go on the day's load, but I'm looking forward to it. And I know that you are as well. We're glad that you're here. If you're listening out in the parking lot, or if you're listening later on the website, we're so glad that you're a part of the service. Remind you, 4 to 6 this afternoon, back to school bash for the children. Hot dogs, ice cream, water slide, and I don't know all the other good things that are planned. So I'd like to all the young people, and it says us adults are going to be invited as well. And who doesn't like ice cream? So we'll be looking forward to that. If you're going to bring maybe... we adults will need a chair to sit in, so bring a chair with us as we come. But 4 to 6, you think, say anything else about it, Kathy?
I just want everybody to come and enjoy, and let's just have a great end to our summer.
All right. You know, when you're a kid, you hate to see summer end. Now, sometimes you parents are saying, I can't wait for it to end so I can go get those kids back in school. But keep that in mind. Wednesday night, Bible study. Always have a good time as we study the Word of God. Thank you for bringing the undie things for needy kids in our public schools. And today was the last day to bring those. And we'll be delivering them to the association office tomorrow. And then they'll be distributing them as needed across Stanley County Public Schools. So thank you for giving. You never know when somebody's going to be blessed. What a difference you may make in somebody's life just to have clean clothes to wear to school. All right, what about prayer request? Anything special you want to add? Anybody special you want to add to the prayer list? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord.
God's got things in store for her.
Right, praise the Lord for God's healing.
Yes.
Thank you, Lori.
I gave a praise report here in Sunday school that Jordan was in a bang up yesterday. She wasn't driving, she was on the team. She was with her best friend. But they're okay. Car's not good, but praise the Lord that
right. Another person. Praise the Lord for that protection. Like I put in the newsletter this week, I've had at least 5 wrecks. None of them were my fault. But other people running stop lights and stop signs and things and banged me up and tore up my car. But I walked away without a scratch every time. You know, God's mercy and grace was great. Anything? Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for those that are gathered here. I thank you for those that might be in the parking lot. I thank you for those that might be listening later online. And Lord, I thank you that the same Holy Spirit that's here in this service to speak to our hearts is also speaking to their hearts. Father, I thank you for the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for the protecting power that protected Jordan. I thank you for the healing power that's been Janice has just testified about. I thank you, Father, that you just express your love to us in so many ways. Sometimes we don't even begin to realize how much you do love us, but you care about us. You love us like the love of a tender father. Father, you've told us that through your son Jesus that not even a little sparrow falls, but that you notice it, that the hairs on our head are numbered. You know us inside and out. You still love us. Thank you, Father, for that love, that mercy, that grace. Now, Father, may as we study your word, may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. He's going to Australia, huh?
Yeah, he's 2 weeks. Yeah, to teach a class at Barney.
Yeah.
So. Now he's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back.
He's been over there the last couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, and Sabre and Brian will be flying out to Australia this week, so that's another prayer request.
He doesn't do good in a closed-up plane. He likes to put the doors open when he's coming back.
I don't want to be jumping out any planes. All right. Anything else? Okay.
So let's all stand together. And this is another just beautiful praise and worship. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's lift the Lord's name this morning. And in case I can't see anything, y'all just keep going on because I don't have music up here for that one. I'm going to turn around and look at this one.
So glad. dismissed.
Thank you, Tonda, for leading the music today while Mr. Leonard was off. She always does such a good job. Kathy does a good job as well. Rita, whenever she gets called on. It's great to have some folks that will help us out from time to time. You know, when I was a kid, and really on into early adulthood, one of my favorite cartoons was The Roadrunner. You remember how it went? Wile E. Coyote always had a plan. He was going to get the Roadrunner this time. He's going to drop an anvil on his head. Or he's going to drop a piano on his head. Or he's going to run over him with the train. Or he was going to get him with a stick of dynamite. But some way or another, this time the plan was sure to work. I'm going to get the Roadrunner. Well, you know how it always happened. Roadrunner escaped, and Wile E. Coyote took it on the chin one more time. Every episode, you knew the outcome was going to be that Wile E. Coyote was going to lose. Well, you know, it was just a cartoon. But you know, in real life, the devil is the ultimate wily coyote. In real life, the devil is the ultimate wily coyote. Because that cartoon shows us a great spiritual reality. You and I have an enemy who's out to get us. It's called the devil, Satan, Lucifer. He's out to get us. If you're not a believer in Jesus, if you're not a born-again Christian, you already belong to him and he can do with you as he pleases. Now, I realize that there are a lot of unsaved people who dispute that, but you see the way unsaved people lived and you know that it's the truth. The Bible says you are in his kingdom, the devil's kingdom, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we as believers, we have a choice. You can serve you can be a Christian and still give the devil inroads into your life. Well, what does the New Testament teach us? Resist him and he will flee from you. Give the devil no place in your life. You see, you can choose, and I can choose to allow the devil to dominate our life, or I can choose to resist him. You can choose to allow the devil inroads and places in your life, or you can resist him. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you have the power to resist and to win. You're not helpless. And now I know a lot of folks are afraid of the devil. A lot of folks think they can't resist him. We remember the old Flip Wilson thing, the devil made me do it. No, you chose to do it. The devil may have given you the idea. The devil may have given you a little nudge, but you chose to do it. Now, I want us to just, I made the statement, the devil is the ultimate wily coyote. Let's just go through the Bible and let me prove that to you. Back in the distant past, one day the devil had the bright idea, I'm taking over the throne of God. How did that work out for him? Isaiah 14 says, well, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But what did God say? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? You see, the devil said, I'm taking over God's place. Didn't happen. Jesus said in Luke 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning. One of the first newsletters I wrote, I said something about, and you know, this is just my picture. The devil steps into the ring and he says, God, I'm going to take you on in a battle for the control of the universe. And before the devil could even get his fist up, God doesn't already knocked him not just out of the ring, but clean out of heaven. In other words, the devil was a loser. Well, then God created the earth, made this man, Adam, and his companion Eve. And I think the devil was a little bit ticked off, first that God had done it, but then, you know, in the book of Psalms, it says, in the King James, it says, thou hast made him, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. It says that because the translators of the King James were not, just couldn't make themselves say what the Greek, the original Hebrew says. The original Hebrew is the word Elohim. It says you've made him a little bit lower than God. And all of a sudden the devil, and the Bible says that God breathed into man of his own substance, made man in his own image. And so the devil says, I'm going to mess up God's creation. I'm going to ruin it forever. And so, you know, he tricks Eve and Adam into sinning. And he thinks, I've really got it, God messed up now. What he didn't know is, if you read the scripture, it says, there was a Savior slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord was already one step ahead of the devil. He lost again. You think of the story of Joseph. God gives Joseph dreams of rulership and authority. The devil says, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to make those jealous brothers kill him. But at least one of the brothers said, no, just put him in a pit right now and we won't kill him right yet. And that brother left, and the other brother said, oh, look at that caravan. Let's sell him down to Egypt and we won't ever hear from Joseph again. He'll be a slave. Well, next thing you know, Joseph is running Potiphar's house, and then he's running the prison, and then he's running the nation of Israel. And sometimes we don't stop to think exactly the importance of that. Remember, God calls Abraham, and he says, out of your line, I'm going to bring a Messiah. Well, at the time of Joseph, there were like 70 people that were in that line. If they had all starved up there in Israel, in Palestine, in the promised land, that would have been the end of that line being cut off. There would have been no line for the Messiah to come from Abraham. But instead, God used Joseph, and they brought that 70 people down to Egypt. And they were preserved until they grew into millions. The devil said, I'm going to get them. But it didn't work that way. You remember the time of Esther? And old Haman says, let's wipe out all the Jews. Let's kill them all. And especially I want this old Mordecai, I want to hang him just to prove how much in authority I'm in. And you know how the story worked out. Haman died on the same gallows that he had built for Mordecai, and the Jews triumphed. But again, see, if all the Jews had been wiped out, the messianic line would have been severed. But instead, the devil had a plan, but God had a better plan. You think about even our day. We'll go back to the Bible in a minute. Hitler tried his best to wipe out all the Jews. Guess what? The nation of Israel was born, reborn out of Hitler's desire to wipe out all the Jews. And that nation of Israel being reborn was a fulfillment of prophecy. And there are Jews now that are preparing for their Messiah. They don't understand everything that we understand about the second coming of Jesus, but that reborn nation. Luke says that there will be a time of the trodden down of Jerusalem until the time of the Gentiles is over. And now the Jews are back in Israel, a fulfillment of prophecy. Well, you know, Jesus comes along. And when the devil sees what Jesus is doing, he says, I got to get this man killed. And so he inspired the Jews to hate him. And then next thing you know, they conspired with the Romans, and they had Jesus crucified. Well, how'd that work out for the devil? Jesus came out of the grave with the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And Paul makes a statement, had they known what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, the devil had a plan. If he could just get Jesus killed, that'd be the end of this whole deal. Instead, through the resurrection powers offer, and salvation is offered to all of us, not just to the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. God had a plan. God had a plan. The devil, as you see, over and over and over again, he lost. Then you get to the Apostle Paul. Devil says, you know, that man's winning too many people to Jesus and starting too many churches. I better put him in prison. And so Paul's in prison. And I'll use our modern terminology. He turns to his secretary and says, get your pen and paper. I just feel inspired to write to the Ephesians this week. I just feel inspired to write to the Corinthians this week. I feel inspired to write to the Philippians this week, the Thessalonians, the Galatians, and half the New Testament, because the devil was trying to shut Paul up. And instead, God had a plan that Paul would write books that bless us even this morning. Same way with John. Let's send him to Patmos. That'll get him isolated. And lo and behold, God gives us the book of Revelation. Over and over and over again, the devil had a plan. And over again, God has a better plan. Paul's on his way to Rome. Devil says, you know, he gets there in that Roman capital of the empire. Who knows what kind of trouble he's going to stir up for my kingdom. I'm going to send a hurricane and drown that boy. Well, Paul survived the hurricane and the shipwreck. Devil says, I'll have one of my snakes bite him and that'll kill him. Well, what happened? Paul shook the snake off, the snake died, and Paul lived. And then you know the rest of the story? That a healing revival and evangelistic revival, and Paul did some healings and they got some folks saved on the island. It became a move of God. Over and over and over again, you have these situations where the devil is just like Wile E. Coyote. I'm going to mess up God's plan. I'm going to do away with things. And ever and ever and ever again, the devil gets it on the chin and God wins. Now, you're on the winning side. Let's bring it up to our day. What about COVID? Now, we argue all day about bats and bringing it on or created in the Wuhan lab in China. I don't know. It's interesting. One of the speakers at the missions conference this week said this. Said he knew some scientists that were doing the a biological study of the COVID virus. And he said, it just doesn't add up. And said, this guy, and I'm not even sure this guy was a Christian, but before he knew what he's doing, he said, that's got to be from the devil. Well, I don't know where it came from, but the devil, in a sense, has tried to use COVID to destroy Christianity. A lot of people have died. I admit, I know a lot of people have died. Church attendance isn't what it used to be. But think about some things. One, I don't know how many pastors I've heard say something along this line. We used to have about 100 coming to our church. Now we're down to 75. But I got 200 people listening online through Zoom or Facebook or some other thing. Or we used to have about 300 coming, and now we're down to about 250, but we got 600 listening online. And I know we don't have some of the capabilities here at Barber's Grove that some other churches do, but a lot of churches, they don't have as many people in the building, but they're reaching more people than they ever did. Well, what did COVID actually do? It's fulfilled prophecy. Read you a couple of verses. And one of them Greg got into in Sunday school. It's amazing how sometimes the Lord gives me something that goes along with Sunday school lesson. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, sometimes my fat little fingers have trouble with these flimsy little pages. Well, if I find the right book, it's 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4. Says, I'll still let you out by 12 o'clock. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. We're seeing that. We're seeing people leave the church, not just our church, but a lot of churches. And that's a fulfillment of prophecy. Again, it's interesting, one of the speakers this week said this, religion is dying. Religion is dying. And it is. It's, you know, I don't know how many things I've seen on the news about church attendance down, fewer people claiming to be Christians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Religion is dying. But the real born-again Christians are flourishing. The real born-again Christians are growing in the Lord. There are people all over the world that are excited about Jesus. There are people all over the world that are on fire for Jesus. There are people all over the world that are doing their very best to reach people for Jesus. And COVID is a fulfillment of prophecy. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us." You know, folks that aren't really believers many times just drop out. They've been going for various reasons, but they just drop out. A verse that Greg mentioned, 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought also so to walk even as he walked." It says if you say you're a Christian, live it. Act like it. Do it. Don't just say, "I'm a Christian," and live like the devil, live like the world. He says if you're a Christian, if you say you're a Christian, then act like it. Years ago, I guess probably been 2 years ago, I wrote a newsletter about this lady I visited. She had not been to church, and she went to telling me all about her aches and pains. In fact, I began to feel so sorry for her that literally I thought about going and asking the deacons, could we take up a love offering, buy her one of those lift recliners and electric hospital bed. I mean, she was really laying it on how pitiful she was physically. And then she shot herself in both feet. She went to tell me about, she gave me a cassette tape and said, "This is my daughter's singing group." She says, "I always go to hear her sing." Well, now she could have ridden from here to Leonard's in a distance, parked on a level parking lot, walked from here, almost just about from me to Jim, and been in the door of the church, sat on a padded pew. Now to go hear her daughter sing, she had to ride all over the area and be gone for hours. Well, I sort of understand it. But then she shot herself with a double barrel in the other foot. She said, "I got a grandson that plays for the local high school football team. Oh, and I go see him every time he plays." Well, now the nearest she could get to the football stadium is about from the back door to Christine's house. She's going to have to walk that far, climb up the bleachers, and sit on a concrete bleacher unless she brings herself a little pad. Sit there in the August games, it's going to be hot. In the November games, it's going to be cold or rainy or wet. And she can do that every Friday night. But she can't ride from here to Leonard's and go to church on a padded pew with a climate control building. Don't lie to me, lady. You just don't want to go to church. As far as I know, she never did go to church. Now, she was a member of the church. But what did that prove? Nothing. Didn't prove a thing. Now, I don't know whether she's in heaven or hell. That's not my call. She may truly have been saved. But the Bible says if we say that we're a Christian, live it. You ask the question, when we are around people, do they see Jesus in us or do they not see Jesus in us? Do they know by the words we say and the lifestyle we live that there's something different about us because we are born again and we have the Spirit of God living within us? And I'm a total realist. I know that there's times people are too sick to come to church. I know that there are times that people's jobs require them to be away from church. I get that. When I had my kidney stones over the years, Billy Graham could have been preaching and George Beverly Shea leading the music, and I still wasn't going to church. I understand that. But if I can run all over to the all over the community and go to football games and sit out in the cold and the wind and the rain, don't tell me I can't say I'm too sick to go to church. It just doesn't compute. COVID's been a fulfillment of prophecy. And it, you know, we're separating the men from the boys. We're deciding who's really in and who's really out. And that's what the Bible says in the last days, there's going to be some separation. And as I said a moment ago, many churches have a bigger attendance now through Zoom and Facebook and other avenues of ministry than they ever had just with their building. Let me bring it on down to Barbie's Grove. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't know that many of you realize the impact that the newsletters are having on the ministry of this church. I just started them to keep us informed and encouraged while we couldn't get together personally and publicly, you know, in the building. I had no idea I'd still be writing them. And I don't, if the Lord didn't give them to me, you'd be getting a blank sheet of paper or a blank computer screen. Now, if COVID hadn't come, I wouldn't have written a single one of them. In fact, if COVID hadn't come, Lionel and his team would have probably called somebody else's pastor and I'd be preaching somewhere else this morning. Well, but, you know, many of you and a lot of folks that aren't Barber's Grove members have said, oh, that article, that newsletter blessed me. That newsletter encouraged me. That newsletter challenged me. This week out in Oklahoma, I picked up five new people that said, hey, I want, our families that, hey, I want to get it. Three of them live in Oklahoma, one in Arkansas, and one's a missionary to Tanzania. Now, I think back in the olden days when I went to school, that was Southern Rhodesia, but it wasn't Tanzania back that long ago. But, you know, the people that are being encouraged, people that are being challenged, people are being blessed because COVID came and the Lord laid it on my heart to do that. And I don't, the only credit I try to take for it is that I try to put on paper what the Lord gives me and not mess it up too much. This church has a ministry that really is stretching a long way just through the newsletters. Now you see, the devil said, we'll make them not come to church. We'll make them get isolated. But God had a plan. And people have been blessed because of what I've written. There's another COVID benefit, so to speak, for this church. At least from my impression. If you disagree, you can come after church and tell me. Those weeks of being separated gave you a new and better appreciation for one another and a new and better love for one another. There's not many churches that express the love that you express for one another. There's not many churches that seem to appreciate each other like you folks appreciate each other. That doesn't mean we're all perfect. That doesn't mean we're all totally in sync with one another, but there's a love in this particular church. And I think a part of it because you realize how much you missed one another when you weren't here. Now, you know, for a number of weeks, I came and preached. Leonard left the led music, and Kathy and Tonda and Brenda came, and you know, it's no fun to preach empty pews. And so when we get back together, there's a difference in attitude and in love because of the separation that it caused. You see, no matter what the devil tries, ultimately he loses. I mean, Battle of Armageddon, he's going to lose. Where's he going to spend it? 1,000 years in the bottomless pit? And then where's he going to spend eternity? Like a fire. I can't understand why anybody in their right mind want to follow the devil. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like, you want to be on the losing team? Follow the devil. You want to be on the winning team? Follow Jesus. Give your heart and life to Jesus. Now, as we faithfully follow the Lord, we're going to win. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be pain. I mean, you think back of all of those things that I mentioned. It wasn't any fun for that ship to explode on a reef, and Paul and all of them grabbed boards to get to shore. I don't guess it felt like fun when that snake bit him on the arm. It wasn't fun for Joseph to be in prison, to be lied about. It wasn't fun for Queen Esther to feel like she might lose her life and her family's life. But ultimately, God brought his people through. The devil had a plan, but like old Wile E. Coyote, the devil took it on the chin. And that picture in Revelation where Jesus says, I have the keys of hell, death, and the grave. The guy with the keys is the guy in charge. And what did we sing in the beginning? Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, we win. We're on the winning team. May Jesus ever be exalted, for he is the only one worthy of our praise. He's the only one that deserves our honor and our praise. Don't let the devil discourage you and keep you discouraged. I mean, he'll hit you with a discouraging thought now and then. I get a few myself. But I don't have to stay discouraged. I can look at the scripture and know he's a loser. Jesus is the winner. And even now, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in glory, making intercession on your behalf and my behalf. He says, boldly come to his throne of grace. Folks, the devil has used COVID to discourage a lot of people. I just see it as fulfillment of prophecy. And I see the Lord doing some things and some lives that are just unreal. And ultimately, when all's said and done, God's going to get the glory. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? If there's someone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to come down the aisle right now. If you need to come to the altar, we invite you to come. If you, but most of us, I just want you to just thank the Lord, praise the Lord for a few moments. Just tell him how much you appreciate that you're on the winning team. Just tell him how much you appreciate the fact that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank him for the grace that blesses your life over and over and over again. Worship him with all of your being. Look forward to that time of heaven when we're going to worship him forever and ever and ever. And the devil and his crowd's going to be in the lake of fire forever. And we're going to be in eternal glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For the wonderful, wonderful things you do for us because of Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you died on the cross, Jesus. Thank you for the mighty power that brought you out of the grave on Resurrection Sunday. Thank you that you're coming again to receive us unto yourself. Thank you that you're preparing a place for us that we can be with you forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your great love. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.